Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the second week of our series called Live Again. And this week, Pastor Josh explains that if you want to live again, you need to have breath within. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Rock Church, how's everybody doing? You guys good? Woo! Woo! That was some worship, wasn't it? Was that some worship? Man. Do y'all have anything to praise God about today? Anything? I know I do. Man, it's been a good day, and it's been a good week, all right? At our 10 o'clock hour, I had the opportunity to go to our coastal campus and preach live there, and I haven't had that opportunity in about 2 months, so it was just awesome. And the number of high schoolers, college age, young adults, middle age, senior citizens in that place, okay? It was a coffee bar that God was turning into a beautiful church moment this morning, all right? And so give it up for Coastal. I know you might be new with us and you might not even know what I'm talking about. We are a multi-site church, all right? So we do church here in Conway, 5 miles away, right across from the university. We have a campus there. We have a campus online, which I know some people are joining us online right now. We have a campus at the J. Reuben Long Detention Center, which, praise God, in 2 weeks, we get to start having services there again, all right? So that's awesome for our friends who are at J. Reuben, for them to be able to participate and worship with us. And we also have an Aynor campus that isn't currently meeting, but we are in construction mode as we will be looking to doing services back there again come 2021. So if you're new with us, that's just a little bit about our church. My name's Josh. I'm one of the pastors here and excited that I get to communicate with you today because, again, it's been a good day and it's been a good week. This past week, on Wednesday, we had about 400 women come to this campus and praise God, learn from His Word, develop community. It was an amazing thing. We had 10 ladies take the step of baptism at that service on Wednesday night, all right? So, yeah. Great stuff, all right? Ladies, let me encourage you, all right? If you're not teamed up, they are starting a women's Bible study, small groups that Bible studies will go out of. That's going to launch in just a couple weeks, so make sure you follow us on social media or that you're subscribed to push notifications on the app. That way you can know what's going on there, all right? And then in addition to that, one other reason I want to tell you it's been a good week is if you haven't heard, my son Clay, who serves on staff, he and his wife Katie are expecting a child, okay? You know what that means? I'm a grandpa, okay? I'm an old man grandpa, and I'm loving it, okay? Loving it. It's awesome, all right? Let me tell you how it happened, all right? Let me rephrase that. You caught me there. Let me tell you how they told us. That's a better way to say that. Because it really does help get us into the message today. That it was several weeks ago that my wife and I, we took our baby. We took our youngest child, Abby. Some of you know Abby. We just love Abby. We love all of our kids, but we're especially fond of Abby. You know what I mean? Don't tell the other three that. But anyway, but seriously, she's our baby. And we took her off to college. And some of you have had to do this with your youngest. And we took Abby off to college. She goes to school in the upstate. And we dropped her off. And we're sad. And we're all crying. And Abby doesn't shed a lot of tears. But that day, she's crying. So we're crying. So then we get back in the car. And we're trying to drive home. And we're sad. And we're talking a little bit. It's like, oh, yay, we're empty nesters, you know. And I know we're excited about that. It's going to be some good things about being empty nesters. But in the moment, we're just sad because our baby's off at college. It's the last one, you know what I mean? And then we end up getting home about 4 hour later drive, and we get home and Clay and Katie are at the house, and so we just hang out. We're talking to them a little bit, and they're like, "Well, how you doing?" We're like, "Well, we're just sad. I mean, you know, it's Abby. You know, like we can't breathe. It's just like it's done." And Clay goes, "Well, if it makes you feel any better, Katie's pregnant." And I'm like, "No!" You know what I mean? Like, we go from the lowest of lows to the highest of highs in a matter of seconds, right? And the reason why is because there's life again. There's life. There's a baby in that womb. There's life in that womb. And we're going from that moment where we just feel like, to we're recognizing life. And that's what I want all of us to do. I want us to recognize life, because maybe you're at a point in your life right now, maybe because of what's going on in culture or in with COVID or any other reason, maybe you feel like there's just no life. Well, we started a series last week called Live Again, and this series is all about how to find life again. It's about how to breathe in life, how to find life in Christ. And when you find life in Christ, then he helps you to be able to breathe again. He helps you to be able to stand again. He helps you to be able to live again. And last week we talked a lot about that from an angle of looking at the book of Ezekiel, all right? And we're going to dive into the book of Ezekiel in a second. But what I want to do this week is I want to continue on with it. But rather than talking about how to live again, I want to talk about how to breathe again. Because if we learn how to breathe again, it'll help us to live again and stand again. So I'm really going to communicate the same message. I'm just going to do it from a different angle this week. And I'm going to talk about what would it be like to simply be able to breathe again. And let's be honest, that's difficult, right? Like, we've all heard phrases or said phrases like, "I can't breathe," all right? That you can go to the George Floyd thing, and we know that phrase became kind of like a national phrase for the reason that it did there. But we've also said it for other reasons. Like, if you've had to wear a mask, especially if you got glasses, you're just like, "I can't breathe and I can't see." You know what I mean? Like we struggle with that, you know? Or maybe there's panic attacks or there's anxiety and you just feel like you can't breathe. Or you found yourself like in an elevator with people or on a plane maybe or in a crowded room. And you're just like, "I just can't breathe. I just want to be able to breathe again," you know? Like, I'm looking forward to the day when I can cough, sneeze, or clear my throat in public and not get a death stare. You with me? You with me? Like, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the day I can just breathe again, all right? Well, let me say this. Through Christ and through him taking up residency in your life, you can breathe again because you have breath within. Let me say it this way. If you want to breathe again, you have to have breath within. That's a statement I'm going to say a bunch today. If you want to breathe again, you have to have breath within. That if we want to breathe, we got to have the breath. And the breath is the breath of the Holy Spirit taking up residency in our life. And we'll see that as we look at Scripture, all right? Let me go back to Ezekiel chapter 37. Now, again, if you weren't with us last week, Ezekiel, he was a prophet. Another way to say that, he was a preacher. That he gave people the word of God. He spoke to people about what God was trying to communicate. And he had been telling the Israelites, "Guys, listen, you're walking away from God. You're not following God. You've jumped into sin. And because of that, there's going to be consequences of those sins. So we need to get back on track." Well, the Israelites, they never got back on track. And they never started following God. So there was consequences. And they were taken as captives of Babylon. Like, Babylon's an empire. You hear about it. You can look at ancient history. You can look at the Bible. You'll see the story of the Babylon captivity. And in it, what they did is they took over Jerusalem, and then they took thousands of Israelites as their slaves. Well, Ezekiel was preaching to them, and he's saying, "Listen, I know it's bad now. I know you don't feel like you can live again, stand again, breathe again. I know it's tough, but there's going to come a day when life is going to get better." And he communicated this by sharing with them a vision that God had given them. And the vision that God had given Ezekiel was that God took Ezekiel out to a valley of dry bones, and he said, preach to these bones. And when Ezekiel preached to these bones, they formed like a skeleton. They all came like back together. But it didn't stop there. From there, all of a sudden, they got tendons, and they got ligaments, and they got muscles, and they got skin. That they had a body, okay? So now these bones had become a body, but the one thing they didn't have was breath. Now, last week I talked about how they got breath real quick. Let me go further into it today. So now we pick the story back up, and there, I want you to visualize bones with like skeletons with muscles and flesh, but no life. And here's what it says in Ezekiel. It says, then he, meaning God, said to me, meaning Ezekiel, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message, all right? When I'm saying speak a prophetic message, basically saying preach to them, right? Communicate to them what I'm telling you. And this is what I'm telling you. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Sovereign, meaning the one who's in charge, the one who's in control. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. Let's highlight some of these words, because there's some words on here that are really important. Come, O breath, from the four winds, and breathe so that they might live again. If you go to the Old Testament, it was written in a language called Hebrew, the Hebrew language. And the word that is used for breath is a word that I can't really pronounce. I'll say it like this for now, ruah. Okay? And the reason I really can't pronounce it is because to truly pronounce it, I'd have to make a loud coughing sound at the end of the word, and none of you want me to do that right now, okay? So for simplicity's sake, I'm just going to say ruah, all right? And this word ruah, it means breath. But it can also be translated wind. It can also be translated spirit. Meaning this, over 150 times throughout the Old Testament, you see this word ruah. And it is translated either as breath, wind, or spirit. And what I love is you really see all three of those translations right here in this verse. Because you see winds, all right, from the four winds. He's asking for the spirit to come from the four winds. All that really means is the spirit of God is covering the whole earth. The Spirit of God is encircling it all. And basically, he's saying, call on the Spirit who covers the entire earth, the wind. Come, O breath. So he got wind covered, you got breath covered. Come, O breath. But even in the context of the verse, you see that it's written like, O breath. Like it's personal. And the reason it's personal is because God is saying, call on my spirit to come and then to breathe. And what that means there is to blow into, to inflate, breathe into these dead bodies so that they may live again. Come, O Spirit of God, and breathe into these dead bodies so they might live again. Well, then Ezekiel proclaims that message over these dead bodies. And sure enough, the spirit comes into them, their chest starts moving, and they stand up as living bodies. And you might look at that and you might say, okay, cool story. But again, how does that apply to me? And I want you to see that the fulfillment of this story is seen after Jesus' death. That Jesus, come about 500 years later, Jesus came onto the scene. And Jesus lived, and then he went to the cross, he died, he rose from the dead. And as he rose from the dead, it says that he breathed the Spirit onto the people. And they were like, okay. And then Jesus said to the disciples, he said, listen, I'm about to leave. I'm going to ascend up into heaven. I'm going to the right hand of the Father. But I want you to wait, because another is going to come, an advocate is going to come, the Spirit is going to come, and he is going to change your life. He's going to help you to live again. So these disciples, they hear this, and they go, okay, and Jesus ascends up to heaven, and then they all kind of went back and sat at their house. And for 10 days, they sat there going, okay, God said that we can't go out. God said that we got to sit here. So they're living in isolation. They're living at a point in their life where they're wanting to go and do, but they really can't because they're told just to wait. Maybe you find yourself there. Maybe you find yourself in isolation. Maybe you find yourself just sitting and waiting for things to get better. That you're going, I know God said they'd get better, so I'm going to sit and wait for them to get better, just like the disciples did. But I want you to know that it did get better. It got better when the Holy Spirit showed up. And the same thing that happened in this verse came to fulfillment in the life of the disciples, and we find it in the book of Acts, which is in the New Testament. And this is what it says. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring, mighty windstorm. There we see that word wind again. All right? Now, if that would have been written in Hebrew, that would have been ruah. All right, but this is actually written in Greek because it's a New Testament, and the word there is pneuma. All right, you might recognize pneuma, guys, if you work with pneumatic tools. Okay, like you would understand, pneuma means air, means the same thing: air, wind, or spirit. New Testament, it's pneuma. Old Testament, it's ruah, and it says it this way. There was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the pneuma, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. What I want you to see here is that they were sitting in isolation, they're trying to figure things out, and then all of a sudden, God showed up. And God showed up in the form of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, here's the beauty. Wouldn't you like it if where the place you were hanging out, all of a sudden, God showed up? Like, I think everybody would be like, all right, that's good. How would you like it if you were hanging out one day with your family and God showed up and rested on you? You'd be like, I'm in. That's good. It's a good day when God shows up in your life, right? It's a good day when God shows up on your life. It's a better day when God shows up and comes into your life. Or maybe I could say, it's a good day when God shows up at your life. It's a good day when God shows up on your life. It's the best day ever when God comes into your life. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, that means you have breath within, all right? And that's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. And what happened to the apostles, the leaders, the disciples back then on this day of Pentecost, as we call it, is available for each and every one of us today. See, that's what we often forget. And sometimes we read the Bible and we think, well, that was just back then. No. God is saying, I want to take up residency in your life. I want to come within. And when I come within, then you can breathe again. And that only happens by the power of the Spirit. See, outside of that, you'll have no life. But with the Spirit living in you, then you can have life and you can have it to the full. See, oftentimes we think, well, no, I got life. I'm good. If you have life right now apart from Jesus, and maybe you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I'm not saying that you're not alive. I'm just saying you don't have true life. Because Jesus is the one who gives true life. Jesus is the one who gives abundant life. Jesus is the one who gives life and life to the full. And he's the only one that can do it, and he does it through his Spirit. Look at what it says. This is Jesus' very own words. He says, the Spirit is the one who gives life. That it is his Spirit who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. I love how other translations say it. It says, men's efforts accomplish nothing. And that's reality. Like, I can do everything I want to try to find life on my own, but outside of Christ, I can't find it. But in Christ, when I surrender to Him, He puts His breath in our lungs, inside of us, and allows you to not only breathe again and not only live again, but also to stand again. Isn't that good news? Isn't that worth hearing? That's what Jesus wants to do in your life, that He wants to help you to live again. But He also wants to help you to stand again. Now, this is important, all right? Let's look at it for a second. Go back to this Ezekiel passage. It says, "So I spoke the message as He commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army." That because the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit of God came into their bodies, they were able to live again, and they were able to stand again. And again, this isn't just a passage, isn't just a vision for people 2,500 years ago who were in the midst of the Babylonian captivity. This came true in the disciples, and it's available for us. And we see it. Let me go further into it, all right? That Peter, all right? Peter, they're in this room. The Holy Spirit came on them. They started speaking in other languages. And as they're speaking in these other languages, they go outside to where there were thousands upon thousands of people gathering around. And as they're speaking in these unknown languages, all of a sudden people started to think they're drunk. They're like, man, there's something wrong with them. You've seen that before, haven't you? Like, you've seen somebody, you're like, dude, is that guy drunk? Is that guy, like he ain't acting right now. Like, there was people. That's what they were saying about him. And I love Peter's response. He goes, "We're not drunk. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning." You know what I mean? Like it's too early for that, okay? That's basically what he says, all right? And then he goes further and he starts to tell them about Jesus Christ. And then this is what he says. "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." Don't move too fast past that. That Peter has the confidence and the conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, so he takes a place where he stands in front of others. Mind you, 50 days earlier, just 50 days earlier, Peter was denying Christ and was running for his life and didn't want anybody to know that he was a believer. And now, just 50 days later, 2 months later, he's standing in front of people and he's telling them about Jesus. And he's not just telling them about Jesus. He's saying, listen, Jesus, whom God made both Lord and Messiah, you crucified. He didn't say, and Jesus, who Pilate crucified. He didn't say Jesus who the Romans crucified. He didn't say Jesus who the religious leaders crucified. No, he said Jesus who you crucified. I mean, he gets personal. I mean, that takes a lot of confidence. Just think about it. Just think about it, like if I was to stand here and say, Tony, you crucified Jesus. Marty, you crucified Jesus. Stuart, you crucified Jesus. Y'all be like, oh man, that guy's, he's a little intense. Right? But that's what Peter's doing. But you know what? Rashid, you crucified Jesus. David, you crucified Jesus. Josh, I crucified Jesus. We've all crucified Jesus. Because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And when we sin, we crucify Jesus. When we walked away from Him, we crucified Him. When we acted in defiance by choosing our own path. So just as Peter was able to say that, I can stand in front of us today and say the same thing. Because we're guilty. We're guilty. And when Peter said that, the people's hearts were convicted. The people's hearts were broken. When he said that, people were just like, whoa, that's true. I did do that. And they cried out, what must we do? Like, you're right, Peter, I'm guilty of it. So what do we need to do? Like, they recognize that, yes, it was their fault, that they actually sent Christ to the cross. And Peter said this to them. It said, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That he says this, he goes, listen, I know your heart's broke right now because you're recognizing that, but here's how simple it is. Repent. Think different about who Jesus is. That he's basically saying, believe in Jesus as both Lord and Messiah, as God and King, as the chosen one and the one who can free you from sin. Think different, and then think different about your sins. And then ask God, tell him you're sorry, and then be baptized. Allow yourself to be baptized. So that you can take on the image of Christ, so that you can follow in his footsteps and do what he's done. And then look at what the last part of the verse says. I love it. And then you will see the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away. Rest in this for a second, y'all. 2,000 years ago, Peter looked at a crowd that was cut to the heart. They're holding their breath because they realize they've crucified Jesus. And he says, you can breathe again because you can have the gift of the Spirit. And that was true for them, and it's true for all of those who are far away. You know what that means? It's for us. That those who are far away means us. That we can breathe again. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit is for you. It is for me. And when we get the gift of the Holy Spirit, the beauty that the Holy Spirit does is it gives us confidence. And it gives us conviction. And it gives us power, just as it did to Peter. That it gives us confidence that we're not alone. Jesus said it this way in John 14. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. You could translate that word helper, counselor, teacher, guide. That Jesus had been all those things to him. And now Jesus knew that he was getting ready to leave. So he says, don't worry, I'm going to give you somebody else who will be your guide. He'll be your helper. He'll be your teacher. And he'll lead you into all truth. I'll get to the truth in a second. He lives with you now, meaning it was Jesus, and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Do you see what's going on there? That Jesus is saying this, that you can have confidence that I am leaving, but I'm going to send a Spirit, and the Spirit is going to come within you. And when the Spirit is within you, you'll never be without. Hear that again, because that's good. When the Spirit is within you, you'll never be without, because God will forever be with you when the Spirit is within you, which means you're not alone. You're not an orphan. You're not in isolation. That you've got a God that is right there with you at all times, because when he is within, you're never without. So you can have confidence of that truth. And that truth should convict. When I have the Holy Spirit, it gives me confidence. It gives me conviction. John chapter 16 says, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. That the Spirit is going to remind you of some truths. And the first truth the Spirit is going to remind you of is sin. He's going to convict you of sin. Now, and here's what I believe. That all of us right now in this room watching online, it doesn't matter if you have faith or don't have faith right now. Maybe you've responded to Jesus or you haven't. My guess is every one of us in this room has felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That we've all recognized when we've done something wrong. And guilt comes, and you're sitting there saying, man, I shouldn't have done that. That was a wrong decision. Or let's say you have this decision over here, and you know it's the right decision, but you decide not to do that, and then you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That I believe the Holy Spirit's always trying to convict, and even right now I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to convict. That my guess is there's some of you in this room who have never responded to Christ. I know in a group this size that's true. That maybe you've never responded to who Jesus is. You've never placed your faith in him. Well, I want you to know that's a sin. And it's the greatest sin you'll ever commit. It's really the only sin that can't be forgiven. See, there's a lot of bad sins out there that we would call bad, right? You murder somebody, that's bad, all right? That greed, that lying, that, like, I could go through a list of sins. And we all know that they're bad and we shouldn't do them. But the worst sin that you could ever commit is not placing your faith in Jesus. Because Jesus can forgive all of those other sins, but he can't forgive you not believing in him. That's what they call blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's saying, I am denying the grace that Jesus is trying to give me. I'm denying a belief in him. And I want you to believe in him, because the only way that we can be forgiven, the only way that we can be made right with God, is through a belief in him. And that's what the Holy Spirit teaches us. Look back at the verse. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is it refuses to believe in him. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father. That we are made right with God through Jesus. The only way we can be made right with God is by placing our faith in Jesus, believing in Jesus. And we need to do that because there is a coming judgment. And because I go to the Father and you will see me no more, judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. That because there is reality, that eternity is real, and we will either reign in eternity with Christ or be separated from him forever. That because of that judgment, I want to be made right with God. The Holy Spirit helps me recognize that there is judgment, that it is a reality. And because of that, I want to be right with God. And I want others to be made right with God as well. But the only way I can be made right with God is if I place my faith in Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to convict you of, but also trying to convict others of. So what we need to do is to surrender to that conviction. And when we surrender to that conviction, then he fills you with his power. And that power is important. Because for those of us who have surrendered to the grace of God, to those of us who have the breath within, then it is our job to go to others and help them come to Christ. Because we all go to school every day or work every day or live in our neighborhoods every day where there are people who don't know Jesus. There are people who are looking to find life. There are people that are hurting. There are people that don't feel like they can breathe again. There are people that feel the weight of this world and of sin being pushed down on their shoulders, and they need to be able to stand again. And the only way they're going to be able to do that is if they get breath within. So if you have the breath within, then it should lead you. You should be convicted to want to go and share with confidence. If you don't have breath within, then maybe the conviction today is that you simply need Jesus. So it leads me in this time of response to simply ask this question. Do you have the breath within? Do you have the Holy Spirit within? Because if you do, then go and live on the offensive and help others to find life, to find breath, to realize they can stand. If you don't, then today's the day that you can get the Holy Spirit. Today's the day that you can surrender to Jesus and you can have the breath within. Because the beauty is, the promise is for everyone. It's not for certain people. It's not for the person who's got everything right. Peter said, this promise is for you and for your children and for all of those who are far off who the Lord has called. And this is what I know. The Lord has never turned anyone away. You can't find it in Scripture that he's ever turned anyone away, which means he's calling you. He's calling all of us to get into a right relationship with him because we don't want to deal with the coming judgment. We want to realize, no, I'm made right with him by believing in Jesus. And if I believe in Jesus, then I can get breath within. And that's what I want in your life right now, is for you to have breath within. So we're going to have this time of response. If you want to take communion, maybe that's what you want to do. Maybe right now you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you're like, I just want to go, and I want to thank Jesus for dying for me. I want to remember him. And you're going to take that little piece of bread and that cup of juice. It's on the front of the stage at either corner. Maybe today be the first time in your life you ever take communion. Maybe today's the day where you're like, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. And you're going to do it by coming up and picking up that piece of bread and that cup of juice, and you're going to say, Jesus, I want you within me. I want your spirit within me. I want you to know it's available for you, because today's the day to find salvation. Maybe for you today is the day you want to get baptized. Like I said, Wednesday night, we had 10 people take the step of baptism. None of them came with it on their mind. None of them came here planned on getting baptized. But in the moment, they said, this is what I want to do. And what I love, every time I get a chance to baptize somebody, is I love how when you go down into the water, you're holding your breath, obviously. But when you come out of the water, it's like a newness of life. And in that newness of life, I'm breathing that air for the first time through the Spirit of God. And maybe that's you today. I want you to know it's available. The baptistry, we're ready. There'll be some people standing over there if you have desire to get baptized. If you need to pray with somebody, people will be at the Connect Corner. Let's go to Jesus. Because if we're going to live again and stand again and breathe again, we have to have breath with him. Won't you stand with me and I'm going to pray. Jesus, we come asking you to do what only you can do. And that is convict. And that is to make us right, so that we can live both here on earth and eternally. God, during this time, we respond to the things that we discover. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All of those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.